How long do you think it takes for a monarch butterfly to go through the entire metamorphosis process? How long would you, I know there's a few experts in here, so I'm not asking you, but for the general population, how long would you say it takes for that monarch butterfly to go through the entire transformation metamorphosis process? Well, I didn't watch this myself. And I didn't experiment it on myself. I checked with the good old internet, found out that it takes about 28 days for that monarch butterfly to go through that entire process. It takes about 4 weeks. Spends about 4 days as an egg. And then it spends about 14 days eating. Isn't that wonderful? 4 days in the egg, and it comes out and spends 14 days eating. Wouldn't you like to eat for 14 days straight? That's all that caterpillar does because, well, he's not going to get to eat for another 10 days. What would you do if you didn't know you were going to eat for 10 days? You'd probably eat for 14 days straight all that you possibly could. But I want you to think about the transformation that takes place in just 28 days. Does the adult butterfly look anything like the egg? Think about that metamorphosis, that there's a complete transformation that takes place where you look over after 28 days, you say, wow, that doesn't look like anything where they started. But you look at the beginning, you say, wow, what's going to come of this? That's not very much. Where in the world is this going to end up? And 4 weeks later, total change. Just in that metamorphosis process. What's interesting is that apparently some folks have figured this out, and I don't know if they've taken it from this or from some other metamorphosis process, but there are folks who have molded some of their fitness programs along that same kind of a transformation line. I guess they figure if a butterfly in 28 days can go from an egg to a beautiful monarch butterfly, they figure, hey, what can you do in 28 days? And so they have, if you were to Google it right now, just look up Google or a 28-day fitness or 28-day transformation, you're going to see all sorts of programs that individuals have put together based upon some 28-day process. And their promise is, their promise is that if you will give yourself to 28 days in their program, you'll be a whole new person at the end of that. Have you ever bought into one? Don't raise your hand. Have you ever bought into one of those programs? You say after 28 days, they say, look, if you'll give yourself to us for 28 days, you're going to be a completely new person at the end of this. Now that promise is built upon a premise. And the premise is they know that if you really devote yourself to anything for 28 days, it's going to become a habit. If you do something for 28 days straight, it will no longer be something that you have to do, that you're forcing yourself to do. Well, it might be in some cases, but for the most part, it's just going to become a part of you. And so they can make a promise that says you're going to be a new you at the end of this based upon a premise that says if you really devote yourself to this, it will just become a habit. It will just become who you are. And so they make a pledge. They tell you, here's the potential that is out there for you if you will follow our 28-day program. Here's what can follow. And they make all sorts of pledges to you about, well, it's going to increase your energy level. It will increase your energy, and it will decrease your anxiety and stress level and improve your cognitive health, enhance your emotional health. You will be able to shed unwanted weight, increase your productivity. It'll help you get through the day. It'll assist you in kicking bad habits. And if you will follow this program, they'll say it'll build your strength, your stability, and your endurance level. Now, if you found a program like this, would you say, hey, I'm going to try that out? If you found something that made these kind of potential promises, these kind of pledges, say, if you'll get involved in our program, it'll change your life. Some of you have been involved in those things. Some of you have found those diet programs, fitness programs, workout programs, and you really have devoted yourself to them. You really have given yourself to them, and you have noticed that you are a different person after the fact. But here we are on December 31st. Has anybody made any New Year's resolutions? Anybody resolved that in the new year I'm going to eat in such and such a way. In the new year, I'm going to exercise and such as... Anybody made those kind of resolutions? Anybody looking at the new year and saying, here's something I'm going to try to do. And so you may have already been online and trying to find, what's the best program for me to follow? What's the thing that fits me the most? Have you ever started one of these programs and then, well, it just didn't pan out the way you thought it would. It didn't reach all of these great potential goals over here. You ever started a program and then after a while, it just wasn't working for you? You ever done that? And you say two or three times, four or five times, a dozen times, you've tried something and it just didn't follow through. But what would have happened? What would have happened if you had said for 28 days, I'm going to do this. I'm not going to miss a day. I'm not going to miss an opportunity to do something. And I'm going to follow this program out to the very end and see where it leads me. If you did that, where would you be after that 28-day period? I want you to turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. And I just want to look at one verse this morning. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Verse 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. A sacrifice that is holy and acceptable unto God. And then God challenges us in verse 2. God challenges you in verse 2 to a metamorphosis process. God challenges you in verse 2 to a transformation process. He says, don't be conformed. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You see the word transformed there? You probably already know that that word in our English Bible, that word transformed, comes from the Greek word from which we get the word metamorphosis. Some of you have learned about metamorphosis. We've seen that metamorphosis of that butterfly. That's the word that's used in Romans 12 and verse 2, where God tells us He wants us to go through a transformation process. Similar to what that butterfly would go through, that's what God wants us to go through. There's only four times that this Greek word is found in your New Testament. Two of them are about Jesus' transfiguration. When you read the word transfiguration in your Bible, it's the same word that's used for transformation right here. What happened to Jesus up on that mountain? He was transformed. He was transfigured. Jesus went through a metamorphosis. That's what the Greek would say. He went through a metamorphosis on that mountain to where His appearance completely changed. But there's two other verses. We'll look at the other one in just a minute. But right here in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, God calls upon us as Christians to not stay in that egg form, to not stay in one particular part of that transformation process, but God calls us as Christians to go through the complete metamorphosis process. What would happen if that butterfly got stuck in the egg stage? Would it ever become what God wanted it to be? What if that butterfly got stuck in the larva, in the caterpillar stage? Would it ever become what God wanted it to be? What if that butterfly got stuck in the pupa stage? Would it ever become what God wanted it to be? God wants us to go through a transformation, a metamorphosis process that is complete, that is true, that is not something that's like those diet programs and fitness programs we've tried sometimes and given up on them. But it's something that we devote ourselves completely to. Now, in this verse in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, what do we learn about this true and full transformation process that God wants the Christian to go through? Number one, we're going to see that this is a change that happens inwardly. It's not a change that happens outwardly. In fact, that's what He's telling them not to get involved in. When He says, do not be conformed to this world, what He's saying is, don't allow your outside to start looking like the world around you. Don't behave like them. Don't act like them. Don't talk like them. Don't on the outside appear like the world around you, but on the inside, make a change. Where does true transformation start? It's got to start on the inside. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7. The Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart. You know this verse? As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. What is a man? According to that verse, a man is what he thinks in his heart. Well, I think I'm 6'4", 260 pounds, and I'm a linebacker for the Dallas Cowboys. That's who I think I am. How's that going to work? Well, everything I just said was something on the outside. And the way I think is not going to make me 6'4", 200 and whatever pounds I said, and play for whatever team at whatever position I want. That's all external. That doesn't matter. Who I am is what I think. And God says that's where the transformation process starts. Proverbs 4, verse 23, guard your hearts. Guard your hearts, for out of it flow the issues of life. And so God wants us to start that transformation in our hearts, in the way that we think. And God tells us whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are noble, whatever things... God, in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, you know that passage where 8 different things God identifies as, here's where you need to put your mind. Here's where you need to meditate. On those things that are praiseworthy, on those things that are of virtue, on those things that are lovely and of good report, that's where you need to fix your mind. Because God knows wherever you are on the inside is going to match what's on the outside. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10 that from the heart, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The way we speak, the way we behave, is a reflection of who we are on the inside. Brother and sister in Christ, God is calling upon you today to look inside, to say, what changes do I need to make in order to truly be transformed in the way God wants me to be transformed? Understanding the second place in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, that this is a command of God. When he says, be transformed, it is an imperative in the Greek language, meaning it's a command of God, not a suggestion, not optional, not just an idea that God has. It is something he absolutely wants us to do. But the second thing I want you to see about that verb is that it's not just a command of God. This transformation is cultivated by God. What does that mean? This verb does not say, transform yourselves. That's not what it says. This verb does not say you need to change yourself. Now, we are involved in the change process. We are involved in changing our hearts in the way that we think. But this verb is not an active verb. In the Greek language, it's a passive. What does that mean? That means that this transformation process is something that we are allowing to be done to us. Maybe you've tried one of those diet programs, fitness programs, workout programs, and you didn't make it all the way through it. But what if you had hired a coach? What if you had hired somebody who was going to make sure that you didn't quit? What if you had somebody standing right there next to you and maybe over you sometimes, guiding you along the way every step, making sure you didn't miss a meal, you didn't miss a workout program, that everything that you needed to do was going to be done in a timely fashion? What if you had somebody to help you do that? Would you have made it through the program? When God tells us to be transformed, he's not saying go and do it on your own. By the passive voice, it indicates that God is right there with us, helping us. What changes do you need to make in your life? What changes do you need to make on the inside? Have you asked God to help you? Have you pleaded with God to help you to be transformed, to make it through that metamorphosis process? And understanding that the other time we see this word metamorphosis in the Greek language, the other time we see this word transformation, It's over in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, where God tells us, here's where you're going. Here's where the transformation process needs to target. Here's where it needs to end up, and that is in the image of Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 says that when we look into this mirror, we behold the image of Christ. We behold the glory of Christ. And the more I pick up this mirror and the more I get into it, the more Jesus transforms me into His image. I'm not trying to be like Mike. That was a great advertising scheme at the time. And all of us who played basketball back in the day when Mike played basketball, we all wanted to be like Mike. And we all tried, you know, the layups like Mike. And we all tried hanging our tongue out. I was going to try to say that while doing it. That's not possible. We all tried to hang our tongue out like Mike. Morris, don't shake your head like you weren't. I know you were. That you were trying to be like Mike. But that's not who we're trying to be like. Our model, our example, the goal that we have is Jesus Himself. And so in this transformation process, I'm not trying to become a butterfly. I'm trying to become more and more like my friend. I'm trying to become more and more like my Savior. And when I do that, the last thing I want you to see about this verb in Romans chapter 12 is that it's something that is a change that happens inward. It's a command of God. It's an imperative. It's cultivated by God because it's passive. But it's a present tense verb. What does that mean? It is a continuous process. You know, I don't know if you realize this, but after that 28-day process of that monarch butterfly, and after 28 days and that adult butterfly comes out, you know how long that monarch, beautiful monarch butterfly, lives? On average, 2 to 6 weeks. Doesn't that stink? I mean, you just spent 4 weeks just getting there, and now you're only going to live, on average, 2 to 6 weeks. How long are you going to be a Christian? At some time in your life, those of you who are Christians today, at some time in your life, you gave your life to the Lord. You were baptized into Christ. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, is this written to Christians or to non-Christians? Oh, it's written to Christians. Is it written to new Christians? Is it written to new converts? Is it written to people that just came out of the waters of baptism? No. It's written to people who had been Christians for several years in the city of Rome. Well, if they had already become a Christian, and if they'd already been a Christian for several years, what more was there for them to do? How long have you been a Christian? Some of you became a Christian this year. Some of you became a Christian last year. Some of you became a Christian 10 or 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 or more years ago than that. Are you where you need to be right now as a Christian? This verse in Romans 12 and verse 2 is not written just to new converts to tell them to get their act together. Brother and sister in Christ, this verse is written to every one of us. And God is telling every one of us there is a continuous, ongoing process, transformation, metamorphosis that you must continue in every day of your life, meaning you never reach the end of it. You never reach the finish where you say, finally, I'm the beautiful butterfly and I don't need to do anything else. You never reach the end. It is a continuous process. Why? Because day after day we are striving to become more and more like Jesus. As you think about your life, I would encourage you to examine your own heart today. As you look at this new year that approaches, what changes need to be made inwardly in your life that can be manifested then outwardly? What do you need to ask God for today, to ask Him to help you with today, to truly be transformed and to go through that metamorphosis process into the image of Jesus? What do you need to ask God to help you with today? You know, we go back and we look at that butterfly that takes 28 days to go through that entire transformation process. We go back and realize that there are some workout programs, fitness programs that base themselves even upon that same scheme of a 28-day program, and they make all sorts of potential promises. Now, let me ask you a question. Does God make any promises like this to us? Is there anything that we could do, spiritually speaking? Is there anything that we could do as Christians that might increase our energy level, decrease our anxiety level, that might help us to not shed weight physically, but shed those burdens that people bear, shed the weight of sin off of our lives? Is there anything spiritually that we could do that could have these same kind of benefits in our lives? This is an exciting day, because today we get to talk about what is this congregation going to focus on in 2018. In 2017, our theme has been At His Cross. And I think it's been an outstanding theme, an outstanding focus this year, to help us to go back to the cross of Jesus and to be reminded that at His cross I find purpose, I find hope, I find peace, I find love, I find victory, I find revival. We looked at 12 different things this year that we find at the cross. But in 2018, this congregation is going to focus on something that is very practical. It's going to focus in on what can I do in 28 days to help me in my daily walk with the Lord. This year is going to focus on some very practical, tangible things that every one of us can do as Christians. This is not a theme that's just merely an idea, a theory, a concept. The theme this year is something that is going to impact our lives 28 days every month. Now, you know why it's not 29 days every month? You know why it's not 30 days every month? Because a stinking February doesn't have enough days to go around. 28 days every month. Isn't it interesting that God created the monarch butterfly that would go through a transformation in 28 days? Based upon that design, there are some things that we can do as Christians over a 28-day period that can help us to become more like Jesus. This is going to be an exciting year. In years prior to this, we've introduced the theme and we've told you what each month was going to focus on. We're not going to do that this year. We're not going to tell you what's coming up, but what in general what we're going to do this year. We're going to spend some months spending 28 days reading the Bible together. We're going to spend some months, 28 days, praying about certain things together. We're going to focus on some spiritual disciplines in our lives that can help us individually and help us collectively. We're going to focus some months, 28 days, on how can we serve each other. How can we spend 28 days and some months reaching out and encouraging and helping one another? And so I hope that you will be excited about each month. And the plan is probably the last Sunday of every month to let you know, here's what's going to be the focus next month, so that we can spend together a period of time every month in 28 days transforming ourselves to become more like Jesus. We started 2017. Do you know what day of the week January 1st, 2017 was? You know what day of the week that was? January 1st, 2017 was a Sunday. We started 2017 on a Sunday. We're ending 2017 on a Sunday. That's a pretty good year. Some of you are saying, I didn't like 2017. I'm ready for 2018 to get here. We started on a Sunday. We're ending on a Sunday. Can I ask you to look inside? And spiritually speaking, where are you today compared with where you were on January 1st, 2017. Now, I'm not talking financially. I'm not talking about anything physically. I'm not talking about anything materially. I'm talking about in your relationship with God. Look back 1 year. How do you compare? Be honest with yourself. Are you in the same place that you were on January 1st? Have you just remained steady? Or do you feel like, I'm just not even where I was back then? Or do you feel like you are on an upward incline in your relationship with God? Where are you in your relationship with God compared with where you were a year ago? Are you where you, be honest, are you where you should be? Are you right now where you could be? Is there something you could have done in the last year that you did not do to help you to grow and to be transformed more into the likeness of Jesus? Are you where you want to be? Are you right now where you can be? Is there something you're holding back? Is there some part of you saying, I'm just not going to give that much? And now as we look forward, this is December 31st, 2017. As you look forward to December 31st, 2018, are you today where you will be on that day? As you look to December 31st, 2018, is there anything you're going to do between now and then to transform your life in relationship to God? I know some of you have been Christians for decades. You think, what more can I do? What more can I do is to get more into the Word of God and allow the Word of God to get more into me and to be transformed even further. This transformation process doesn't reach an end. It doesn't have some exclusion clause based upon age or number of years that I've been a Christian. What can you do in 2018 to be drawn closer to the image of Jesus? That's the design of this year's theme. We don't have any t-shirts this year, sorry to say. Put 28 days on a t-shirt, and I'm not sure if that'd make a whole lot of sense to a whole lot of people. The idea this year is not about t-shirts. It's about our hearts. It's about our relationship with God. Every day this year, we're going to walk together. And in our daily walk with the Lord, we want to draw closer to one another. Most importantly, we want to draw closer to Him. And so as you leave this morning, there's going to be a couple things on the tables out there. One of the things that's going to be out there is, what are we doing for January? In January, January is going to be one of those themes, one of those times where we read parts of the Bible together. And so in January, what we are going to do is we are going to read through 28 Psalms together. And the design of this is to spend 28 days in January growing in our praise of God. Do you know what the book of Psalms is? The book of Psalms was the Jews' song book. It was their praise book. You look at the name of our song book here, Praise for the Lord. That was their song book, Praise for the Lord. That's what the book of Psalms is all about, growing in praise of God. What would happen if you spent 28 days reading about praising God? You think after 28 days you would be transformed? That you would be renewed in your mind? That you would have gone through a process where at the end of this, I am ready and more capable and eager to praise God now than ever have been. And so on the tables as you leave, the big boxes out there have a booklet for you that has these 28 psalms, but the psalms are not printed out in here. There's a psalm for each day of 28 days in January, which leaves you 3 days to catch up at the end of the month if you miss something. But hopefully we can stick together in 28 days. And there's just some questions for the Psalms in here, some reflective questions that say, what can I do with this Psalm to put it into my heart to make me more ready to praise God than ever have been before. What is there in this psalm that I can share with others to help encourage them and make their day better? I hope. And the elders pray that you'll pick up one of these booklets as you leave. And you will decide tomorrow on January 1st, I'm going to read one psalm a day for 28 days. Obviously, I hope most of us will read more than just that. But if nothing else, read that psalm. Meditate on that psalm. Allow those words to get inside of us. If you miss this booklet, if you forget this booklet, if everything works right on our website starting tomorrow, each day this will appear on our website. It'll feed to our Facebook page. And so each day you'll be reading about on Facebook. Oh, okay, today's Psalm 8. And we're not going to put the text on there. You got to go to the Bible to read it. Or you got to go to some app to read it. But what's this going to do? This is going to help us, I hope, to be ready more at the end of January and eager to praise our God. This isn't just about worship. Not just about what happens on Sunday. It's about our hearts. It's about praising God every day of my life. There's going to be months this year where we focus on teaching others. And what can I do in 28 days to grow in my ability to teach others? Those of you who are involved in this and those of you who are on social media, as you're reading through this, feel free to use the hashtag PBL28Days and make comments or post or do something that keeps us alive and active together to be reminded. You know, what are we trying to do? Not just be in isolation somewhere, but to strive together, to grow together. I hope that you'll be excited about the plans for this year and that each month you will be renewed and be transformed even closer to the image of Jesus. Let me share with you briefly just some things that are planned for 2018. I'm only going to do this for a minute. But I want everybody to know what's coming up. And there are some things that we do every year. And a lot of those we're going to do again. And in case you don't know, we do have Bible classes on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights. And we are going to keep doing that in 2018. If you don't come to Bible class on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights, what a great time to start doing it. I don't personally make New Year's resolutions. That's just not a personal thing with me. I believe if you're going to do something, you might as well start doing it as soon as you know you ought to do it, not wait for a certain day to start doing it so that you can forget that you started doing it 5 days later. But if you need a reason to start coming to Bible class, how about starting now? Start coming this new year. We've got Bible classes for everybody. We've got outstanding children's classes that they started a new semester this morning in the Step Into the Bible program. Bring your kids to Bible class. Be here in Bible class yourselves. For the 2018, we're going to continue the fifth Sunday cook-offs. Those have been popular in the last year, I would say, and those have been fun to do. But there's a lot of the other regular activities that we have. Our Mission Sunday, the last Sunday of January. Our Gospel Meeting starting the second Sunday of March. Our Ladies' Day in April. In May, we have our Promotion Sunday happening on May 20th. Then we have our Vacation Bible School in June, as we always do, as well as our Leadership Training Camp for our kids in August. Young people, be aware that our youth weekend has changed names and it has changed locations on the calendars. No longer in May. It's back in August where it was for a lot of years. And it's now called Charged by Christ. And Joe Wells is coming for that. Joe is a great speaker and you will enjoy him. But mark your calendars. That's our youth weekend, now called Charged by Christ. We have our Spiritual Enrichment Weekend in October and our 23rd annual lectureship in November. Now, you got all those dates, you wrote them all down, right? Now, there's some new things we're going to be doing. And this isn't all of them, but I want to share about three of them with you. Every year for the last, 417 years or something like that, we've had a Ladies' Day. And we ought to keep having it for another 417 years, okay? But what about the men? The ladies have their day and the men are just left hanging. We don't have one. So, first Saturday of May, power up. We're going to call it that every year. It's going to be called Power Up, A Recharge for Christian Men. Mark your calendar, 10 o'clock, May the 5th. Is that Saturday? May the 5th. Plan to be here. We're going to invite area congregations and most men to come and be a part of it. And what's going to happen, just to give you a little insight into that day, it's going to be called Power Up, and we're going to invite local preachers to come in and give 15-minute power lessons. All right? They can't go over 15 minutes. We're going to cut them off. Preachers from here aren't going to be speaking. You know that. We can't keep anything 15 minutes, so we got to bring in the outsiders. Just kidding. 15-minute power lessons on that day to get men recharged in their service to the Lord. So men, mark that day down. Back, we haven't had this for a long time, but starting the end of May, we're also going to have our Kickstart Your Summer series. We haven't had that in several years, but we're going to again be taking five of our Wednesday nights, two in May and three in June, and bring in some speakers on Wednesday nights and help to kickstart our summer in that regard. Now, here's something exciting. Except for January, starting in February and every month next year, on the second Sunday, every month next year, that Sunday is going to be designed to reach out to non-Christians. That Sunday is going to be designed for you to invite your friends. That Sunday, and we'll have the invitations for you to pass out in a couple weeks. Every month, you will have something to give to your friends to invite them to a second Sunday service. And it's going to be that the first one's going to be, is there really a God? And so you'll have a card, an invitation that you can give to your friends. And then the next month, you'll have something else to give them. Well, it'll be the gospel meeting in March. But then in April, you have another card to give them. In May, you'll have another card to give. You think your friends will get the idea that you go to church? You think your friends will get the idea that this is important to you? You think the people that you work with, when it comes June and July, and you're saying, there's something else going on at church I want to invite you to come down to. And here's another card in September, and here's another one in October, and here's another one in November. And you know, I've been giving these to you. I just want you to know that this is important to me. And so every second Sunday is going to be designed that morning for you to invite your friends. We're going to have our regular Bible classes. We're not going to have a special Bible class that morning. We want our friends to come and to see who we are and what we're about. And so bring them to Bible class that morning. Come, bring them to the Bible class that you normally attend on that day. And then the sermon that morning is going to be this specific design to encourage and to reach out to our friends. At the same time that you are passing out every month to your friends those invitation cards, those same invitation cards are going to be mailed to 3,300 homes around this building every month. So every month, people around this building are going to get an invitation to come here on the second Sunday and say, here's an invitation from this church to come and be with us. I'm excited about that. I hope that that will be something that can transform us to not just do it once a month, to not just do it on second Sundays, but for us to transform our hearts to see souls all around us. Your family and your friends will learn who you are. They'll learn where you go to church. They'll learn, this is important to me. A lot of great things planned for 2018. And those second Sundays are going to be exciting and be fun together. But what are we trying to do? We're going to try in 2018 to spend 28 days every month walking daily with the Lord. Are you ready for that? Are you ready for this year to be over? For a new year to come? As you leave this morning out there also, there's another smaller box on the table out there, and it has the entire calendar for the year. Has everything that we've listed on the screen already, except for the second Sundays. They're not specifically identified in here, but we figured you know when the second Sundays of every month are. But here's the calendar as we have it so far this year. Everything that's on our calendar, and you can go put it on your calendar so that you know what's coming up. Where are you today in your walk with the Lord? We can talk about 2018. We can talk about the transformation that we need to make in 2018. But that transformation really doesn't matter next year until you look and say, where am I today? Where are you in your walk with the Lord today? Are you a Christian today? Are you a New Testament Christian today? Have you followed what the Scriptures teach you need to do in order to become a Christian? You know, as you read, as you pick up this book, and as you start investigating the question, what do I need to do in order to be right with God? What do I need to do in order to get my life in a relationship with God where I don't have any barriers between me and God and I'm walking hand in hand, side by side with God? How do I get sin out of the way? Well, the Bible says I've got to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. That's what the Philippian jailer was told. He said, what must I do to be saved? And they said, here's the first thing you need to do. You need to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And after someone believes that Jesus is the Son of God, they're told that they need to repent, to turn away from sin, and say, I want to stop doing what's wrong. I want to start doing what's right. I want to change the way I'm living. That's a change of mind. That's a change of heart. That's where that transformation process starts. To get rid of sin in our lives. Say, I don't want that anymore. Confess the faith that I have in my heart. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And to be baptized. To be immersed into water. But more importantly than being immersed into water is that at that same time, you're being immersed into Christ. Where all sins are forgiven. Where you come into contact with His blood and Jesus adds you to His church. And writes your name in heaven. Have you ever been baptized for that reason? So that you could be redeemed by the blood of Jesus? If you haven't, today's the day you can do that. There's water here, there's garments here, there's towels here. Everything is ready for you to be baptized this very day, to leave this building and to leave this year walking with the Lord, serving Him faithfully, walking in the light as He is in the light for the rest of your life. Are you a faithful Christian today? If you're not, why don't you respond this morning right now? Come forward as together we stand and sing.